News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Coming up to 10 minutes past 8 on News Talk Breakfast with Paul Williams and Shane Coleman. Let's turn to that Sinn Féin no confidence emotion in the housing minister, Eoin Murphy. Eoin Brin, Sinn Féin's party spokesperson on housing, joins us now. Just give us the detail of this. When are you putting it down? What's the details of the motion? When will it be heard?
Sure. So we'll submit the motion to the Bill's office today. It'll be debated and voted on Tuesday the 25th of September. And I suppose the motion really focuses on two things. The government's housing policy is failing and failing abjectly. And Eoin Murphy, as the minister responsible for that policy, has had a particularly bad 15 months of office. Homelessness up 25%, child homelessness up 35%, pensioner homelessness up 40%. Thousands of vacant homes lying empty and little done about them. Less real social houses to be delivered this year than last year, if you would believe that. And also a kind of a focus of the minister much more on announcements and spin rather than substance. And I suppose for me, the real issue is this. If you're the minister and if you're presiding over a housing policy that's failing, then you should have the courage to go into cabinet and say, listen, folks, this needs to change. Something needs to give. Instead, what he's been doing for the last number of weeks is not only defending the indefensible, but he's also been attacking everybody else, blaming councils, councillors, opposition politicians. So Eoin Murphy has to go. Rebuilding Ireland has to go. And we urgently need to see a change of direction, which means a new housing policy and crucially a new minister.
OK, what would Sinn Féin do differently if you were in government?
So a number of key things which we've been calling for now for 2 years. First of all, we double capital investment in social and affordable housing, which would deliver, for example, next year, 14,000 public homes rather than the 7,000 government is proposing. We'd also put a bigger emphasis on genuinely affordable homes to rent or buy for people. Not a single affordable home has been delivered to rent or buy by any central government scheme in 2 years. And on the homeless front, the government's big focus is on hubs, and clearly hubs are better than hotels. But what they're not doing is taking enough action to reduce the flow of families into homelessness, and they're not buying enough vacant turnkey properties to get families out of homelessness quick enough. And they're not just things we're calling for, they're things which almost the entire housing policy and NGO sector are calling for. Now, we've rafts and rafts of other proposals that we've put in detailed writing form and legislative form to the minister, but they're key actions that need to see urgent change. And Budget 2019 is the opportunity to do that. And part of the reason why we've tabled this motion at this point in time is to put extra pressure on government to deliver that change come Budget Day in early October.
Stick on your headphones there for a second, because I want to play a clip. We spoke to Conor Skehan, the former chair of the Housing Agency, last week. He'd an interesting thing to say about the idea of building more new homes. Just have a listen.
The proportion of housing supply that's required is mostly made up of second-hand houses. New houses are a tiny part of the overall mix. Freeing up houses to come back into the market, that's really going to solve these problems. And that's to be dealt with by the one thing we're not talking about, which is the huge number of arrears that are out there. We've at least 14,000 houses in severe arrears. That issue has to be dealt with. Remember, 14,000 houses in arrears is 38,000 human beings in deep trouble. And then as well as that, we have 120,000 restructured mortgages, many of which are already in trouble. So the real place I'd spend my money, I'd go off and I'd buy a couple of thousand houses and put them back into the market. Or more importantly, I'd deal with dealing with arrears.
Okay, now Conor Skehan wasn't specifically talking about Sinn Féin there, of course, but to listen to what he had to say, you're barking up the wrong tree.
No, and in fact, not only would I agree with a lot of what Conor said, these are points we've been making for 2 years. So, for example, when Eoin Murphy was appointed minister, there was a vacant home strategy on his desk that Simon Coveney had completed. That has only been launched.
He's not just talking about vacant homes.
No, I'll come to the second point, part of his question. That strategy was only launched a number of weeks ago with no additional funding, no additional targets. And in fact, of the 1,800 vacant homes that have been directly offered to government to buy over the last 2 years, vacant turnkey homes, not on the private market, so you're not competing with first-time buyers, the government has bought less than 400. Yeah. And on the 50,000... On the 50,000...
Like you don't believe in any homes being repossessed, for example.
On the 50,000 homes that are in significant mortgage arrears, including a large large number of buy-to-lets. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, it's the vacant sale of those buy-to-lets that's driving the family homelessness crisis. Mm-hmm. One of the things we can't understand is vulture funds are able to buy those properties off the principal banks at a substantial discount. In many, many cases, if those same discounts were offered in restructured mortgages to either the landlords or the principal homeowner who's living in it, they would be able to sustain those mortgages. So we've long called for, but this is important.
Yeah, but what's also important is the fact that banks' hands are tied because politicians like yourself say you cannot ever repossess a house.
What we're saying is this. Now look, there will be some cases where clearly mortgages are unsustainable. There's no doubt about that.
And you accept houses have to be repossessed in some cases.
In very limited cases and in the last resort. But the bulk of families who are having their homes repossessed or the bulk of landlords who are currently evicting tenants because they're having their homes repossessed could sustain those mortgages if they were able to avail of the same discount as the Vulture Fund. And what we've argued consistently is government needs to force the banks to deal with serious restructuring on a case-by-case basis. But also, you can't evict families into homelessness, and therefore, if a mortgage is unsustainable, there needs to be a mechanism then to move that family on into appropriate accommodation.
Final question. On Thursday, South Dublin County Council is going to vote on the property tax and whether or not to apply a discount of 15%. How will Sinn Féin vote on that? Because in previous years you have voted for a 15% discount in a property tax.
The vote was last night.
Well, I thought it was, but South Dublin County Council told us on the phone this morning. How did your councillors vote?
Sure, we voted to maintain the property tax at exactly the same level
which
as the last 2 years, which is a 15% discount.
But sorry, isn't there a massive contradiction in that? I mean, here, like you're talking the talk on it, but when it comes to walking the walk, you're saying, ah, you know what, let's just do the populist thing, let's reduce the property tax. That money could be used to tackle homelessness.
Two things. First of all, it's a relatively small amount of money in terms of the types of money that we need to engage with house building or house buying. Secondly, the council about €12 million. Secondly, the council will be able to increase its expenditure on housing and homeless services and maintain the level of the tax that it's currently on. We don't accept, for example, that struggling low-income families with private homes...
You're running with the hounds on this
should face that tax increase. That's the first thing I'd say. And there are better and more effective ways of funding public housing. So, for example, the additional exchequer revenue that we've argued is there within the fiscal space is a better way to do it. European Investment Bank loans, low interest, long term is a better way to do it.
Why cut 15%?
Well, we haven't cut. We're maintaining it at the level it has been
for
2 years.
You're cutting it by 15%.
No, what we're not doing is we're not increasing it. It will be exactly the same level as last year. It will generate the same level of
15%
revenue.
15% cut.
There's no cut. We are not going to increase it.
It's a 15% discount.
We are.
It is.
But it's the same level as last year.
Yeah, great.
We're not going to increase property tax on struggling modest income families, and that money will be better spent invested in the local community. And interestingly, the vast majority of councillors in South Dublin County Council agree with us, which is why the vote was passed last night.
Okay, all right, we will leave it there. Eoghan Brin, Sinn Féin's party spokesperson on housing, thanks indeed for coming in to us.
It's 70 minutes past 8 here in Newstalk Breakfast with Shane Coleman and Paul Williams. Now, the Criminal Justice Burglary of Dwellings Act was enacted in 2015 by the then Minister for Justice, Francis Fitzgerald, to tackle a nationwide crime wave problem by preventing repeat offenders, serial offenders, from getting bail. Now, basically, as part of that act, a burglar with a previous conviction facing two or more charges should be denied bail because of the presumption that they would commit further offences while on bail. Now, it was lauded at the time as a very welcome initiative, but according to the Department of Justice last week, it has only been used in, and I quote, a very limited number of cases. Jim O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil TD and party spokesperson for justice. Before I ask you your reaction to that, would you appraise us of the main points in this act, why it was brought in, what it catered for, you wearing your legalistic hat?
Okay. Yeah, it came into force, Paul, in January 2016. It was designed to deal with the problem of recidivism in burglaries. We have a problem in this country with burglary and repeat offences. In 2017, there were 19,000 burglaries. We know from statistical evidence that there's a high rate of repeat offenders. Approximately two-thirds of those convicted of burglary, theft and other similar offences reoffend within 3 years. So the purpose of the legislation was to try to change it in two ways. First of all, if you're applying applying for bail and you had a previous conviction and you were facing charges for similar offences, two or more charges for similar offences, a judge may take those into account in determining to refuse your bail. That's the first thing it sought to do. And the second thing it sought to do is to apply consecutive sentences to people who are convicted of burglary. So if you're convicted of burglary on a 1 week and then 2 weeks later you're convicted, you're prosecuted for another offence, you could still have your sentences imposed consecutively as opposed to concurrently.
Now, okay, what is your reaction to the fact that this, like, I remember when this legislation was, after 2015, there was a massive nationwide outcry about the level of crime around Ireland, rural Ireland, particularly, and there were thousands of people attended meetings, and this was Fine Gael's response. Why do you think it's not been used in the courts?
Yeah, well, it's disappointing, but it's not surprising.
You welcomed it at the time, didn't you?
Yeah, welcomed it at the time, but we recognise, and last year we introduced legislation in the Dáil recognising that the law wasn't strong enough. And in fact, in June of this year, we got a second stage debate passed in the Dáil seeking to amend the Bail Acts to make it simpler. The reason I think it's not working and it's not operating is it's too complicated to follow. And you may think that's difficult, but you've got to find out that the individual has been charged with an offence, then they have to have been previously convicted of an offence in the previous 5 years, and then a third step, they have to be facing two other charges pending.
How would you simplify it then, wearing your legal hat?
I'd simplify it by simply stating that if you're applying for bail and you have a previous conviction for burglary within the previous 5 years, that should create a presumption that you shouldn't be granted bail. We need to recognise that back in 1996 there was a referendum. The people voted by 75% to ensure that a court could take into account the likelihood of somebody committing a future offence as being a ground for refusing bail.
Yeah,
that
but hang
constitutional
on, Jim.
Amendment
I,
hasn't
I,
been
I lived through a lot of those, Jim, through the years, and there's been several referenda, there's been law changes, legal changes. But the issue of bail has remained a major problem in our criminal justice, the administration of our criminal justice system, despite all those changes that have been made. Is it that the judges are using that discretion to basically say, listen, we're going to ignore this?
Yeah, I think perhaps we give judges too much discretion in our legislation. But like the primary law of the country is the Constitution. The people passed it overwhelmingly. They said they wanted that to be a factor in consideration and refusal of bail. And as legislators, it's our responsibility to ensure that that's given a effect in legislation. And that's why I think that the bail laws that exist at present are too weak, they're too ambiguous. And if you look at the report that was in the newspaper at the weekend, part of the reason they say that this isn't working is that Gardaí aren't aware of it. And you will know that when it comes to a district court prosecution, it's the Gardaí who determine whether or not bail should be sought or not, or whether or not it should be refused or not. And that information needs to be brought more to the attention of the Gardaí, and also it needs to be simplified. It's simply too complicated.
Well, there is a thing, like at one stage, let's remember what the stats were telling us. This legislation was based on analysis by people in Garda headquarters that something like over 70% of all burglaries were being committed by the same, is it 20 to 30% of convicted burglars?
It is 25% of burglars are responsible for 75% of all burglaries. So there's a small cohort of people who are repeatedly offending and burglary, and it's not having the deterrent effect that it used to have. And part of the problem, what irritates people, is that people who are out on bail for burglary offences can then commit another offence. And there's no deterrent to it. If they're going to be convicted of the subsequent offence, what's the downside since their sentences are going to run concurrently? So we need to recognise that it's the one area of the law where there is a serious rate of recidivism. Mm. If you look at sexual offences, it's not that high. It's only 25%. But when it comes to burglary, it is extremely high. It's nearly two-thirds of those convicted repeat again. So we need stronger deterrence in our law.
Okay, it's, I think, an issue we'll probably be coming back to. Jim O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil TD and party spokesperson for Justice. Thanks very much for coming in this morning.
Thanks.
Okay, coming up next, all the sport, including Roy's keen to stay, but has he become a liability? Stay with us.